This podcast is produced and copyrighted by 83 Bar Incorporated. It is designed as a general informational resource, and neither the sponsors nor guests are rendering any professional or medical advice. The opinions and claims presented by the guests are their own. Any trademarks used are the property of their respective owners. Welcome to The Patient Speak, healthcare innovations accelerating the patient journey. Featuring interviews with healthcare leaders, patient advocates, medical providers, and researchers. Here's your host, best-selling author, Mark Stinson.
Hello, friends and colleagues, and welcome back to our podcast, The Patients Speak, where we're combining the science and business innovation in healthcare with the patient voice and how we can accelerate the patient's journey from diagnosis to wellness. And I'm so happy today to have Katie Boateng, who's head of the Smell and Taste Association of North America. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. And this idea of smell and taste conditions has certainly got a lot more attention over the last few years. It's even a new condition by name to me. And I've been in medical communications my whole career. But as we kickstart things here, let's just start with the topic of the podcast, and that is what we need to hear when the patients speak. What do you think the patients want us to listen to the most when it comes to their smell and taste?
I think overall what patients want people to understand is the enormous impact that this has on someone's day-to-day life, on their daily lives. Anosmia and other smell and taste conditions are invisible, so you can't see them, right? And so I feel that there seems to be a lack of empathy or a lack of understanding for how impactful these can be on people's lives. It impacts every area of your life. And I can speak from my own personal experience. I became anosmic back in 2009. So it's been about 14 years for me now? Mm-hmm. Every single day, not having a sense of smell impacts my life in a meaningful way. One example that I can provide is nutrition. When you don't have a sense of smell, you typically don't have a sense of flavor anymore. So most people who don't have a sense of smell can still taste the five basic tastes. But for me personally, I have no flavor perception. So I choose and gravitate towards foods that might be a little bit less healthy than other options, like chips, crackers, crunchy types of things are really great and do something for me. Things that are less exciting are like yogurt, lettuce, like those types of foods that might be a little bit more healthy for you don't really do much. And so nutrition is like a daily impact. So overall, just the ginormous impact that this can have on different areas of a person's life is what people want mm-hmm. others to understand.
And what about clinicians and their perception or reaction, you know, and approach to treating these conditions? You know, at first they sound, well, that's mighty inconvenient and that's too bad, but you're really bringing up some true health implications.
Yeah, I think for clinicians in particular, it would be useful for more education opportunities for these people to understand, again, how impactful the conditions are. And although currently there are no treatment options for smell and taste disorders, there are very few, if any, treatment options, let me say it that way. Even though that's the case, you could still say this is going to impact your nutrition. This is going to impact your mental health. This is going to impact you in social settings. We can't give you a pill or a treatment right now, but we want you to be aware of that and be mindful of that and take action steps towards managing those quality of life issues that you're going to have. When I became anosmic, I did not know anyone else who had anosmia for almost a decade later, where I met someone else in person who had anosmia. And when I went through my own journey of going to the doctor to figure out what was wrong with me, at the end of that, I saw a primary care provider, I saw an ENT, and then I eventually saw a neurologist, and they all ruled out any fixes or cures or treatment options for me. But then I was just sort of like left and goodbye, good luck, have a nice life. And that is so isolating. And for me, my hope and our goal with Stana is that no one has to feel that way. that you're like left at the end of your doctor's journey to just go on your own way and you have no support or resources.
Well, your own personal experience must have been part of the drive and mission and motivation to create this organization or to at least lead it in this regard. What are you hoping to accomplish as an association to bring patients and clinicians in better communication?
I think it's so important to just hear from the patients and how they're dealing with their own disorders and how it's impacting their lives, and connecting them with those clinicians so that we can make strides towards treatment options and we can make strides towards more clinical trials and more collaboration between the two. It's always better when you're trying to come up with treatment or you're trying to come up with a clinical trial that you work with the people who are actually impacted by the disorder from the very beginning, so that you aren't guessing what they need, but you're working directly with them to identify what they need.
And what have you been researching, or what are you looking at in terms of treatment options? I know there's not really any or many out there at all. And there's also very limited, if any, clinical trials in this area. But what is the research looking for?
I think right now, a lot of the research out there is trying to identify why smell dysfunction happens to people. There's ideas about what's going on in the brain and why people are having a complete loss of smell, or why they're developing parosmia, which is smell dysfunction. So parosmia is when you smell something and it's wrong, and it's typically a terrible smell, like burnt meat or garbage that people describe. And there's not a lot of understanding right now of exactly why that's happening. We've heard from some scientists that they think that the neurons in your brain are trying to repair themselves. And there's a good analogy out there that when that's happening to people with parosmia, that perhaps it's like an out of tune piano, right? It's trying to work, but the chords aren't striking correctly. So your brain is interpreting it wrong. But I think, yeah, overall, there's just a need for studies to figure out why people can't smell exactly. I lost mine in 2009. And I always tell people, I don't have an official diagnosis of what happened to me after going through that whole journey. The best guess is that I lost my sense of smell due to an upper respiratory infection and getting my smell neurons damaged from that virus. And they think that's probably what's happening with people with COVID too, is the virus is damaging your olfactory neurons. But yes, definitely more research is needed to figure out why specifically it's happening. And then if we can identify that, then hopefully we can start to figure out how can we treat that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess as a outcome of COVID and so many more people losing their sense of smell and taste, what have you seen as far as the maybe incidence or awareness of this condition? So from your association's point of view, have you seen an increase in awareness?
Yeah, I think the fact that you can lose your sense of smell and taste due to a virus is definitely, the awareness of that has definitely increased. Still working on people knowing the vocabulary of the specific terms like anosmia, parosmia, hyposmia, those things. But the fact that you can actually lose your sense of smell and taste, that awareness has grown for sure since COVID. And then a lot of people are realizing that that can stick around. Many people who had COVID lost their sense of smell and taste have recovered, thankfully. And again, why is that happening? We don't really know, but that's amazing for the people who are recovering. And then there's this whole subset of the population who they're getting a lost sense of smell and taste. It's developing into parosmia, and we're into 2023 now. Some of these people are still dealing with parosmia 2 to 3 years later. Why is that happening? So yes, definitely there's an awareness that viruses can cause damage to your olfactory neurons and that it can cause a problem that could stick around for years. I'm 14 years in, which scares some people. But there are others who are still dealing with like the 2 to 3 year mark. And our organization really wants there to be a world where we can come up with treatment options for these people right away so that they can recover their sense of smell.
Well, thinking about those treatment options, certainly the presenters of this podcast, 83 Bar, are interested in clinical trial recruitment and getting access to more of these treatments. Do you find that your members and people associated with your group would be interested in trials, even though there's some experimentation, obviously, and there's maybe unproven treatments, or we're still trying to learn? But is there interest in this kind of research?
Absolutely. There is a lot of interest in this area. We hear from patients every day who reach out to Stana who just want us to help them. What can we do treatment-wise? What can I do clinical trial-wise? Tell me something. And right now we can refer them to clinicaltrials.gov, but I just checked it this morning and the majority of clinical trials around the anosmia space are international or they're closed. There's one pediatric study that's currently recruiting, and then there's a few others that are recruiting, but it's related to Parkinson's disease smell loss, not necessarily just for anosmia due to COVID. So there's a huge, there's a huge lack of clinical trials that are available currently for people.
Yeah, sounds like a big gap that we need to fill either by understanding what the trials are looking for or connecting more people with these trials, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
And in terms of this awareness, in doing some reading on you and the organization, there are some awareness days where we're emphasizing and publicizing this condition. When are some of these coming up?
Yeah, great question. So every year on February 27th, there's Anosmia Awareness Day. This was started by Daniel Shine, who has anosmia himself. So that one's coming up next month, February 27th. There's also a United States-based holiday or awareness day called Sense of Smell Day, and that's the last day of April every year. So this year, that'll be April 29th. There's a newly created Parosmia Awareness Day, which actually happens in June, and that started this last year in 2021. And that is to raise awareness about parosmia as a condition and smell distortion. And then the other newly created day, because there was no World Taste and Smell Day together, those two senses are so closely entwined, that World Taste and Smell Day was launched last year, and that's September 14th of each year.
Very good. Well, we need to mark our calendars. I love sometimes we characterize these as holidays. It's almost as if the patients could use a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. And I want to be mindful of that word holiday because there's definitely a subset of the population who don't agree necessarily with the need for a day. They don't view it as a holiday. They don't think it's something to celebrate. But I'd like to encourage people to shift that mindset of it's important to have a day to focus on these disorders and raise awareness for them. So although they may not personally see any cause for celebration, it's still a day to focus on the condition and on social media, raise awareness about the impact of it.
We'll continue Mark's interview with today's guest in just a moment. Our sponsor, 83 Bar, offers proven patient recruitment solutions for medical product launches and clinical trials. The team at 83 Bar can help you achieve better patient outcomes. Find client success stories and market reports, along with resources like videos and publications, all on their website, 83bar.com.
You know, and raising this awareness, it does bring to mind, if you had a chance to sit in some of these conference rooms at the pharma and biotech companies and say, we need more research, you know, we need to listen to the patients, what would you tell some of the researchers at these companies?
I would just explain, I think, the need for these patient-focused clinical trials, patient-focused studies. Historically, I think that clinical trials and studies, people, researchers, and scientists have an idea in mind, and it's probably a great idea, and it probably needs to be studied, but they don't bring the people in who are impacted directly until much later in the process. So we need to shift that focus, and if people have an idea for a study, then we bring the patients in immediately. That way you can ask them directly, what do you think of this idea for a study? Would you participate in this study? How do you think we should conduct it? And that is so much more powerful because you're working directly with the people who are dealing with it. They can be your sounding board. And also that builds trust in the patient community. they're much more likely to come to your trial and participate in it if you can tell them, we developed this with patients.
Very good. You know, and your organization is relatively young compared to some other disease advocacy groups. How do you envision getting more people involved in some of these discussions, some of this research?
Great question. Yeah, so the Smell and Taste Association of North America, we officially established in 2021, right after year one of the COVID pandemic, which was fortuitous timing. I think moving forward, what we envision is collaborating with different research networks throughout the United States to build a place where researchers can come to STANA, connect with patients. Patients can come to STANA, connect with researchers. So serving as that go-between, that liaison between the scientists, the researchers, and the actual patients, that's where we'd like to get to. Right now, there is no one place that people can go and search for clinics around the United States that actually deal with anosmia specifically. You would think that every like ENT location would do that, but you would be surprised. A lot of ENTs have never seen patients with anosmia, perhaps until COVID. It's not as common as some of the other ENT issues that they see, and they don't dedicate a lot of time to these smell disorders during medical school either. So that would be great if we could increase awareness of locations that see patients and have seen those who have these disorders specifically around the United States. So we're hoping to create that kind of repository eventually.
Very good. And I guess with ENTs, perhaps there's some overlap in the research with asthma or allergies or other conditions that they see where smell and taste might be an implication or an outcome of that primary diagnosis.
Well,
very, very good. Katie, can't thank you enough for really educating me and our listeners about these conditions. Given the idea of connecting more people, how do we connect with you and your association and follow your work and get more involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone can find the Smell and Taste Association of North America on all of the different social media channels. It's either at stana.org or at stana. And then our website is www.thestana.org.
Very good. Well, we'll put that in the show notes. And Katie, you're a podcaster yourself, so it's good to have you on the other side of the camera and the microphone. What sort of discussions are you hoping to have in your podcast going forward?
Yeah, so the podcast is on a mini hiatus since my family and I have been preparing to move. But now that we're all moved, I'm hoping to get back into some additional episodes this year. But the goal of the podcast is to serve as a resource for people so that they know that they're not alone. I shared in the beginning of our conversation that when I first became anosmic and went through that journey by myself, it was extremely isolating. I felt like I was the only person in the world that was dealing with this. And the goal of that, of the podcast again, is to share our stories, ask questions, and so people can go there, they can hear other people who are dealing with the same thing as them. Social media and online platforms have made it so that you don't have to feel like you're alone. I shared that I didn't meet anyone else in person for almost a decade who also had anosmia. But with the platform and being able to listen to a podcast episode, you can meet them virtually and know, okay, I'm not by myself. There's other people who are dealing with this. And that's the goal of those episodes.
Yes. Well, I agree. And I think for patients who are also facing these conditions, I just want to underscore that, that you're not alone part. I've heard that in so many other disease conditions where people haven't met other people and they think they are alone. But this idea that others have gone or are going through this same journey is somewhat reassuring and comforting and gives hope to the patients to continue to fight this condition. So thanks for sharing that. Yes. Well, my guest has been Katie Boateng. She's with the Smell and Taste Association of North America. We've been talking about how to connect more patients to each other, more patients to clinicians, and more patients to clinical trials to really understand and advance our understanding and treatment of these conditions. Katie, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Look forward to staying connected. And listeners, I hope you'll come back for our next episode. We're going to continue these conversations with patients, with clinicians, with healthcare leaders in all fields about what we need to hear when the patients speak. For now, I'm Mark Stinson. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Patient Speak, Healthcare Innovations Accelerating the Patient Journey with Mark Stinson, presented by 83 Bar, supporting well-informed, confident, and decision-ready healthcare consumers. Learn more about their patient activation platform at 83bar.com. You can listen to our show on any of your favorite podcast apps. Subscribe now so you won't miss an episode of The Patients Speak. This podcast is produced by BSB Media. We also host another show you might enjoy, Unlocking Your World of Creativity. It's a top-rated podcast featuring interviews with creators around the world. We help you gain the confidence and connections to launch your creative work out into the world. Look for Unlocking Your World of Creativity on your favorite podcast app.